When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Joining us right now, as he does each and every Monday at 3 o'clock, right here on the Team 980, is our guy Jay Gruden, on air and off the on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. Hello, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing good, Chris. Did you use the word nincompoop just now?
I did. Is that okay in the Jay Gruden vernacular?
I haven't heard that one in a long time. That's one for the ages right there.
You know what it is, Jay? When you can't curse on the radio and you're tired of calling people morons or idiots, you kind of come up with anything that like would fit the bill. And we are in a sea of idiocy in this country, as you probably know, especially on the roads. And I don't know why I said nincompoops, but I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad I could get a chuckle out of the Jay Meister. I appreciate that.
No problem.
I hope you had a good weekend, I hope you didn't run into any nincompoops anytime recently. Let's start with, obviously, the win, 20-19. I saw you tweeted something the other day, or I guess earlier today, at @coach_Jay Gruden is how people can follow you if you're not already doing so, @coach_Jay Gruden. Ugly wins are great wins. And that doesn't surprise me coming from a head coach, because I know they're really hard to get. But for those that are frustrated, disappointed, antsy, whatever, explain the mentality that goes into winning and even winning ugly.
Yeah, winning on the road, too. I know they had their backup second string and third string quarterback playing, but winning on the road is never easy. And at New Orleans is a tough place to play. I don't care who's playing it. Getting wins, just racking them up at the end of the year, and then trying to see where you fit in the playoff race is important. I mean, you look at Kansas City. How many pretty wins have they had?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of teams that have had wins like this, not just Washington. And the teams that win them have a lot better opportunity to make it to the playoffs and get their dreams granted than the teams that can't win ugly.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's what I said: it was a got away with it win. Not a great win, not a good win, not a very good win, a got away with it win, because they did just enough, Jay, to get away with it. I mean, that's how I felt. Is that wrong or no?
I feel like Washington's in total command of the game the entire game until the last play.
Okay. I really do.
I mean, think about the long one to Terry that was just outside his hands, and the other one that went off his fingertips. Yep. The other one was just a little bit underthrown. The completion of Deame Brown with the holding penalty on Algretti. I mean, there was a 8 or 9 chances that this game should have been 3-score game. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, here comes New Orleans, and you look up at the scoreboard and shoot.
Well, that's what I can't. That's what I can't reconcile with, right? Because I pointed out the same things that you just did, and you know, some of those pass. The one to Deame was a hell of a throw. I mean, Jaden did a lot right. And the Commanders did some right. I don't want to say a lot right, but you're right. They're a fingertip away from winning the game by 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. And before we get to the officiating, I wanted to ask you on the Terry ones. One, again, was a clear overthrow, which we've seen a couple of times this year and is going to happen. It's a low percentage success rate, but when it works great. One, it looked like Terry on a busted coverage slowed down and maybe, I don't know if, I don't want to say he didn't know what to do, but he kind of like almost stopped or held hesitated, Jay. Did you see that? Did you? What did you make out of that? And also on the third one, was it pass interference or illegal or some sort of illegal contact?
Yeah, I thought the third one, they might have got illegal contact on that one. EB didn't really play the ball. He played into Terry. But that was a close one. The one that Terry slowed down on, it was a blown coverage. I think Terry might have assumed it was a cloud corner and there was a safety over the top, so he's slowing down for the whole shot. He didn't. I don't know if he realized there was no safety there. They just totally blew the coverage. That could be the only thing that would make Terry slow down, I think, in my mind. But I couldn't tell either. It did look like he hesitated a little bit. The ball went off his hands, but that was a big play. Just didn't quite connect.
Yeah, no doubt. But yet Terry and Jaden connected twice. I don't know if you've ever seen, if I've ever seen a route like he ran for the first touchdown, which was obviously a broken play, but he ran like a sideline out off the right side, and then he angles all the way basically across the field on a run on a diagonal, and Jaden slips and kind of goes down as he's kind of scrambling to his left, and he gets up and he still has enough mustard on the ball to fit it into a tight hole. That was an incredible touchdown. I don't know if they're getting enough credit for the level of difficulty from both of those guys.
Oh, incredible. And I think that's players will start to understand when Jaden breaks contain, the timing of the play has been screwed up. Everybody's just got to run for daylight, you know, and the plaster rules are in effect huge with Jaden. You look at what Buffalo did with Josh Allen the other day with the running backs. James Cook had one. Ty Johnson had one. They're just running flat routes. Next thing you know, they're catching one 40 yards down the field because they know that when the good athletic quarterbacks break contain, they're not looking to run. They're looking for big plays, throwing the ball first, and then they'll run. So, yeah, that was a great play by Terry and Jaden.
Jay Gruden brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday on the BetQL guest hotline right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, at @coach_Jay Gruden on X. So let's get to the officiating. Before I ask you what happened at the end of the game, I don't know if you saw it live or on tape or whatever. Did you see what happened at the end of the third quarter when Joseph, who stinks, by the way, missed a field goal, but it was like 5 seconds after the game clock expired at the end of the third quarter? Did you see that?
Yeah, the clock.
What in the world happened there, Jay? How could all of those officials be that blind and that ignorant?
And then the guy stops the clock and the guy's inbounds at the end of the game and freeze for 4 seconds, 5 seconds.
Oh,
yeah, that's,
my goodness.
These guys have been doing this for a long time. You know, I used to coach in the Arena League and play in the Arena League, and some of those hometown clock operators were, they were bad.
Yeah, but Jay, on the one at the end of the game, I can't blame the clock operator because the side judge is running, and it's hard to see in certain video clips, but in one of the video clips, the side judge is coming in waving his hands like, stop the clock, and that's what the clock operator has to see, even though he knows the clock shouldn't stop because there's no reason for it to stop. It's not an incomplete pass. There's no timeout. There's no nothing. The side judge comes in. He is the one that just completely brain farted, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe he thought he was in college and it was a first down and the clock stops after a first down. I don't know. That was insane to me.
If you were coaching, Jay, in that spot, along with what happened at the end of the third quarter, how much of your sanity would you have left after a game like that, win or lose?
Yeah, I probably my blood pressure would have been through the roof, and I might have had a heart attack right there on the sideline just to make the day even better. But, yeah, you know, it's very frustrating. There's things you can't control that shouldn't be controlled, you know, from a officiating point of view. These are things that are out of your control. If they're wrong, I mean, there's nothing you did wrong as a coach. You just got screwed over. So you got to live and die with the human element of the officiating, I guess. But that was uncalled for.
Let me ask you one more on this. So Sean Hockley did a pool report with one of the New Orleans reporters, and he admitted the mistake that they made. He didn't give a whole lot of context. He just said mistake. And he was asked, hey, could you do something to correct that? And he said, nope, it's not reviewable. Just like the face masks on the quarterbacks that we've seen over and over and over again with Joe Burrow and what happened at the end of L.A. and what game was that? L.A. and I forgot the
Cincinnati.
L.A. and Minnesota. Well, Cincinnati's had four of them, but L.A. Minnesota like a month and a half ago on Thursday Night Football with Sam Darnold.
Yeah,
but just like those are unreviewable or not eligible for replay assist, how in the world is a major error, a major clock malfunction, whoever's fault it is, Jay, how is that not reviewable? What are we doing here?
I don't understand it because I've seen officials say, hey, clock operator, put 8 more seconds on the clock, right? They've done that before, right?
Yeah.
Why can't they say, hey, clock operator, take 4 seconds off, game's over. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You're right.
So I don't understand that one. Yeah. But, yeah.
I mean, how many times? You're right. How many times do we say, you know, please put, you know, 14 seconds on the clock instead of 11 seconds and clock starts on my whistle or whatever. We see that all the time. I saw that in the Army-Navy game the other day.
Exactly. So I don't understand why they can't go the other way.
I don't get it.
And the same thing with these face mask calls, like you mentioned before. I think they're going to have 5 or 6 calls that can be called from upstairs, a replay assist. They're going to add to them next year. You know, the big thing is they got to add those, and then they also have to be able to take plays off that aren't, you know, those
correct
horse collars that aren't horse collars that they actually call. They're going to have to just do a better job of much. These are huge plays.
Or the roughing the passer penalties on Dante Fowler yesterday. I mean, you know, and those are ticky-tack. I got it. You know, you can go 50-50 one way or the other. But, man, are those killer penalties because they're 15-yard penalties, and one of them turned out to be a field goal. I wanted to ask you this. The first drive of the game, the Commanders kicked a field goal with Joseph, who, I want to point out, stinks. They kicked the field goal, and then they took the break, and everybody thinks the Commanders are up 3-0, and then they come back, and they're like, oh, no, New Orleans was called for a penalty, and they showed it, and I didn't quite get the explanation, but one of the guys did something, and is that the thing that you've been, quite honestly, very blunt about all year?
I've been on this thing for 2 months now. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
The guy did nothing wrong on that one, and when they do something wrong, they don't call it. The referees got it all. They got it all backwards. You know, I'm glad it worked out in Washington's favor.
So he did not. He did not do. Okay, all right. So he did not do something wrong, and yet they called it. Okay. Well,
unless he thought that when the center was coming down, the long snapper was coming down, the guy jumped on top of him. Maybe that's why he called it. That's the only thing I could think of.
Well, you know, based on how Sean Hockley's crew did the rest of that game, nothing should surprise you in that regard. Were you surprised that the Commanders did not try and do a better job establishing the run, even with your guy Badass out of the game?
They tried. They got nothing. Brian Robinson's only run was a screen, really. Jaden threw it backwards to him. He got 20 yards. He had 20 carries for like 40 yards. They averaged, other than that one screen, if you remember, for 20, he had 20 carries for 40 yards. So there was nothing really happening inside. New Orleans did a really good job against the run. They were they had really good edge presence, and then inside they were getting off blocks, doing a really good job. Not a lot of movement by the Washington offensive line in this game. It was disappointing in my mind. I know Tyler was out. He's a big part of that inside push, but everybody else, even Bates had a tough time at tight end, setting the point of attack. It was a tough day all around for the run game.
I agree with you, you know, but here's where I would just at least counter on the second run of the game. First possession, they got 9 yards. Third run of the game, they got 5 yards. And listen, I understand some of the other runs, and certainly late, I totally get the Saints defensive line, but they had not been good stopping the run coming into the game. How do you and is it possible that Cliff Kingsbury changed maybe some of his calls or the game plan because of Biotish being out? Would you do something like that if you woke up on the morning of the game and found out that your starting center, a guy who's coming off his best game of the year and such a linchpin in that offensive line, is out? Would you alter your calls that much, or is that just not happening?
It could. Center, probably not so much, but like if you have a Jordan Reed that is practicing all week and they tell you Saturday he's out, then half your game plan goes out the window.
That never happened around here, did it, Jay?
Yeah, like 5 weeks in a row. But yeah, for a center, it probably wouldn't change that much, but it might change a little bit because, you know, Tyler does do a good job of pulling and doing a lot of these extra things that you don't see in communication and all that good stuff. But it would have a little bit of an impact, but not as much for the center.
Jay, you love when I come up with those good zings. I don't forget anything, do I?
No, you're pretty good.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I just try and make you laugh because you make me laugh. So we kind of go back and forth. Jay Gruden is with us, Ted Britt Automotive Group, as always. So the defense, a lot of people are disappointed by what happened in the second half. I understand that. The Kamara trick play, touchdown, great catch, unbelievable. Did you have a major problem with what you saw to the Commanders defense in the second half when they went from Haener, who was incompetent, to Spencer Rattler, or do you think that was just kind of circumstance between some weird-ass penalties and a team that was just kind of playing from behind and finally woke up a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they probably let down their guard a little bit. You know, I know they weren't trying Lattimore too much on one side. They were trying to go to the other side, and they got a couple good route combinations. And Spencer did make a couple nice throws on a deep dagger play and a couple plays that he kept alive with his legs, which he does pretty well. He's done since college. But I think they did let their guard down a little bit. I think Coach Quinn will have a little problem with that in the meeting today. He'll take care of that. But overall, I think the defense played really good in the first half. And then obviously the big play to Kamara that has been run for the last 20 years. You know, once every five games, somebody will try that thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the big play on the dagger and a couple other plays. But I think overall they got to be a little – pleased the way they played. They got the win, held them to 19, and they're playing with a limited deck as well. Payne, I think, is a little bit banged up.
Yep.
A little short on the D-line. And, yeah, it's just one of those days on the road.
Yeah, that trick play was significantly run better than the one in Denver. I'm sure you saw that with Benito picking off the pick six up the middle on the trick play. My goodness, Jay. What, you know, they look great when they work. When they work the way they did in Denver for Indianapolis, you're like, oh, my God, how stupid can you be?
Yeah, that's the thing about trick plays, man. When they work, you look like the offensive genius of the league. When they don't work, you're looking for a job the next year. So, yeah, that's the risk-reward when you call a trick play.
Ravens-Giants, the Ravens blew him out. Lamar's fine, you know, 35-14, all that. But Deontay Johnson was suspended for that game, and now he's been excused from this week's activities. Devondre Campbell walked off the field after refusing to go in because his feelings were hurt that he wasn't the starter anymore when Greenlaw came back the other night. Jay, I mean, listen, I know we're in an athlete entitlement and empowerment era, but how do we deal with this stuff without just going bonkers? Because, I mean, you're making so much money and you get to play a game that so many want to play. And I understand everybody's got issues and challenges and mental this and mental that. But my goodness, how do you explain what we've seen in just the last couple of days?
There's no room in pro football or any sport for that type of behavior, in my opinion. You just got to get them off your team. That's just the way it is. And good coaches who have the power to do that makes their team better. And when you let go of a guy like a Campbell or Deontay Johnson, the locker room says, hell, damn, if they do it to him, they could do it to me. And people fall in line a little bit. But if you let these guys do what they want, then everybody thinks they can do what they want. You're going to have major problems when things don't go well. And you just got to take care. You got to nip those actions in the bud. You know, unlike I was able to do in Washington, I had to let some people hang around. But you got to get those guys out of your building. Let them go play somewhere else. They're just not going to play for me because I'm not going to deal with it.
I wonder who you're talking about, Jay.
I don't know. There's a lot of them.
You know what's interesting about these two, though, is they're not being released just yet. I mean, they're being, you know, there's a report of a three-game suspension for Devondre Campbell with San Francisco. And again, Deontay Johnson was suspended for yesterday. And now the team announced that they're excusing him. So they're not releasing these players. They're just kind of, I don't know, dangling, suspension, maybe. Whatever.
Yeah, maybe they think they get a seventh-round draft pick later for him or something like that in the trade. Who knows?
I don't know. Last one for you. Well, maybe not the last one. Quick one. Kansas City beats Cleveland 21-7, but Mahomes gets hurt. We've seen him play through all sorts of nagging injuries. They're calling it a high ankle sprain. Here's the problem, Jay. They've got a game this Saturday and then another game on Christmas Day, which is Wednesday of next week. So three games in basically 10 and a half days, including the one they played yesterday. If you're the head coach, knowing Mahomes and not being a doctor, how do you kind of go about that? Do you just basically plan Carson Wentz to be the starter, and if Mahomes can go, Mahomes can go, and you trust that even with limited reps, he's going to be okay?
Yeah, I think it's all up to Patrick and the doctors. That's all you can leave it up to. And if he's limping around, significantly, then I'd get Carson ready to go for this week and try to get him ready for the Wednesday game. But I think the NFL should be really seriously look at their scheduling right now. This is late in the year. These games mean a lot to a lot. Teams are fighting for playoffs, home field, division champions, and you can't have three games in 10 days, week 16 and 17 and 15. It's ridiculous. These guys need a good rest and recovery this late in the season. It's unfair to the players. It's unfair to the people watching the games. It's bad football when they put these games on 3 days' notice. But anyway, back to Mahomes. Yeah, it's all up to the doctor what he can tolerate, and he might come in as a starter and not be himself, and you might pull him early. Better dress three quarterbacks. Similar to my last season, we had Case Keenum. He tried to go. He limped around. I had to take him out, put in Haskins, and all hell broke loose. But, yeah, you got to probably give Patrick his opportunity to say how he feels. If he thinks he can go, you got to trust the guy.
Right. But from a coaching game plan standpoint, you'd probably say, hey, man, you know, Carson Wentz, you're kind of the guy. Like, that would be the mentality I would assume Andy Reid would have. And you're a million times right. Correct. I was screaming about that last night on Stupid X. Three games in 10.5 days is absurd. And we see it all the time, but like the Jets did three games in 11 days, week one and two, weeks one, two, and three, I think it was, at San Francisco on a Monday night, at Nashville on that following Sunday, and then they played New England on the following Thursday. So it was like three games in, I don't know, 11 days or whatever the hell it was. But there's one thing to do it week one, two, and three, as opposed to weeks 15, 16, or 14, 15, and 16, or whatever.
Yeah.
Weeks were in.
I agree. This isn't Madden. This isn't a video game. This takes a lot to prepare. It takes your bodies a long time to recover from a game, and it's a difficult sport to play, man. I mean, especially week 15, 16, and 17, like I said. So it's insane to me. But, you know, back to Carson, I think the game plan won't change. I think Carson will do similar stuff that Patrick. He'll probably hand off just a little bit more than Patrick would, but overall the game plan will stay the same.
Yeah. Last thing for you, everything okay, I guess, in Philadelphia? Jaylen and A.J. Brown look like best friends after that one touchdown to yesterday, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing when you feed the guy a ball a couple times. You know how everybody's happy and smiling. But yeah, that just goes to show you that if you're going to play single high against them and stop Saquon Barkley, they can hurt you with A.J. and Devontae. So they're going to give teams fits the rest of the year. They're obviously one of the Super Bowl favorites in my mind, because they don't really have any weaknesses offensively or defensively. Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh had back-to-back takeaways in the span of maybe like a minute and a half and got 3 points out of it early in the game. That's where that game turned for me.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh just doesn't have, you know, without Pickens, they don't have any really.
Oh, you're right.
Calvin Austin's not very good, and you know, their running game's average.
No, you're absolutely right. And Najee Harris was involved in one of those fumbles. Jay, as always, great stuff. Appreciate you. I guess we'll talk next Monday after the Eagles and the Commanders.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
There you go. That's well done, Jay. I can't believe I stepped all over that. Thank you, though. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly at Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln at Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com.